In Psalms, if you don't have your Bibles, I'll be reading. You can listen along. The book of Psalms. Chapter 107. Psalm 107. And you can listen along as I read. And I think this will help you today. Only the Lord Himself satisfies is the title of the message. Only the Lord Himself satisfies. Psalm 107, I'm going to start at verse 1. It says, "O give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom He hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. And He gathered them out of the lands, from the east, and from the west, and from the north, and from the south. They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. And they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and He delivered them out of their distresses. And He led them forth in the right way, that they might go into a city and habitation. Oh, that men had praised the Lord for His goodness, and for His wonderful works to the children of men. He satisfieth a longing soul, and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. To such as sit in darkness and the shadow of death, being bound in affliction and in iron, because they rebelled against the words of God and condemned the counsel of the Most High. Therefore He brought down their heart with labor, and they fell down, and there was none to help. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and He saved them out of all their distresses. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death, and brake their bands in sunder." Let's go ahead and pray, and we'll talk about only the Lord Himself satisfies. Let's pray. Our Father, thank You for the chance to share Your word. Thank You for everybody who's come today, the many visitors, the parents whose precious children are in church, and Father, the regulars who are faithful and always there. We thank You for all who are here, Lord, and for just helping people make it. We pray today, Lord, that You'd speak to us and meet our needs and help us. We love You. We thank You. You've given us the Bible, the Word of God. We thank You for the Holy Spirit who can speak to us. And I pray now that we would be spoken to and helped, and the Bible would be a blessing to our hearts and speak to us, and we'd get all we need from You, Lord. Please, we need Your help. We thank You for every person who's here. Bless them, Lord, for being here, and help them. Lord, those who don't know You as Savior, I pray they'd come to know You as Savior, and those who do today, I pray they'd find their longing satisfied in You. Help us to see this clearly and to undo the work that Satan has put in many of our minds for many decades. In Jesus' name, amen. In this passage, verse 1 through 8, he basically says that God is good. The Lord is good, and I wish people would really see His goodness and really praise Him for His goodness. I think many people don't see how good God is. They don't see really how God's blessed them. They don't see the benefits, the things that we tend as a culture, our culture has been trained to focus on the negative. We are trained to be cynical and critical and gripe. It's kind of what we do. It's kind of our nature. And I don't think we see how many good things God has done for us many times. And we didn't appreciate getting out of bed this morning. And we didn't appreciate seeing and walking and talking and breathing and all those things. And the Lord is good, and He ought to be praised. And in verse 8, you can see the passion in the verse. As the psalmist says, "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men." And I hope you'll be here for tonight's message, because some of you might be saying right now, "Well, my life's not good, and my circumstances aren't good, and my things aren't good in my life." And come to tonight's message, it'll help you understand that. Because sometimes things happen, and later you understand why they happen, and sometimes you see that God was good, and the Lord is good, and maybe you weren't seeing things clearly, or maybe you took some actions that made things happen. But God is really merciful. And then he's in the center of this verse, of our message today, in the center verse of what we read, is verse 9. "For He satisfieth a longing soul, and filleth the hungry soul with goodness." He satisfieth a longing soul, and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. It doesn't say He satisfies a longing body, the longing soul. He does satisfy us with food, and we're blessed, and we have plenty of food in America, in most every case. But He satisfies the longing soul. And if I could get you just for a minute to understand that most of the wrong we do, and most of the heartbreak we have, and most of the loneliness and heartache and depression we have, is simply our soul is longing for something. And we keep on trying, and it doesn't get satisfied. And I want to say this, you cannot get satisfied on this planet, in this life, in your soul, from anything on this planet. You might think if you get enough money, you'll be satisfied. It doesn't work. Rich people get depressed. Most rich people are more depressed than people. You know, and by the way, do you know why most rich people are statistically far more depressed and have a higher suicide rate than those who don't have a lot of money? You know why? Because they got what they thought would satisfy them and it didn't. And now they think there's nothing that will ever satisfy them. If they could hear this morning's message, it would satisfy them. A young person might be 14, 15, 16 and say, as soon as I get the right boyfriend, girlfriend, as soon as I graduate from high school, you're going to go through your whole life saying, oh, as soon as I get this, and then you'll get it. You'll say, okay, but as soon as I get this, as soon as I get my driver's license, as soon as I'm in high school, as soon as I get my own car, as soon as I get a better car, as soon as I get a better boyfriend, as soon as I get a better girlfriend, as soon as I get 21. And then all of a sudden, at a certain stage, you know what you start doing? Oh, I wish I was back then. Oh, I wish I had that then. I wish I was back 16 again. Why? Because you're never satisfied from this planet. You got a bunch of young people who wish they're old, a bunch of old people wish they're young. Because people aren't satisfied. And that's the nature, because there's nothing on this planet that can satisfy you. It can alleviate for a moment your thirst or your hunger in your soul. In other words, if you win $1 million today, you'd be satisfied for a little while. Pretty soon you find out it doesn't satisfy you. You could go out and all of a sudden get the most handsome or wonderful or beautiful man or woman in the world, and you'd be satisfied for a while. But you know those people get divorced? And you can go out and say, well, if I just had this great job. But if you go to that job, you'll find out people who have that great job are griping about it. You're going to find that. Because everything you think will satisfy you won't. It alleviates for a little bit. It numbs it. It makes it go away. And as long as you're partying and having fun for a little while, but you know, you'll find out the partying gets old. Amen. You know, many people are out there living a wild life saying, you know, I would just love to just have a good marriage to a good person and settle down. Amen. And people who went and have a good marriage to a good person or settled down and say, I just wish I was single again. Life's boring. Because you can't get satisfied in life. Because you have a longing in you. You have a vacuum. I've heard a phrase, a God-shaped vacuum inside of you. And you try to satisfy that with everything in the world, but only one thing can satisfy that, and that's a person. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Only he can satisfy. And then verse 10 through 14, here's a good thing about this. He satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. But if you start at verse 10, it's going to go backward, and it's going to tell you, here's a bunch of people who really did a bunch of bad things. And really, don't you hate when you can't find it? It's the worst. Here's a bunch of people who did bad things, and God has punished them, and God's going to say, I satisfied their soul too. I want you to understand this. You say, I don't deserve it. I don't know God. I've done bad things. Maybe God's punishing me in my life. I want you to understand this. The next verse is he's going to say, these people who he satisfied had these bad things happen to them because they did bad things. Yet God went back and satisfied their soul. Verse 10. It says, such as sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, being bound in affliction and iron. These are people in darkness, the shadow of death. They're bound in affliction and iron because they rebelled against the words of God and condemned the counsel of the Most High. Therefore, he, God, brought down their heart with labor, and they fell down, and there was none to help. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distress. He brought them out of darkness in the shadow of death, and break their bands in sunder. It says he brought the satisfaction to the soul after they found all that trouble in sin. So I want you to understand this. God is so kind and so merciful. You could have done a bunch of bad things, and you could have an empty soul, and you could have been under the punishment of God, and the Lord still is merciful. And if you'll let him, he'll still satisfy your soul and forgive you and bring you out of the pit that you've gone into. And that's encouraging because some of us have taken bad steps up to this point in our lives. The good thing is God will satisfy your soul from here on, and he says he will do that. A soul spends time seeking satisfaction, but God can only satisfy that need inside of them. He put a thirst that no drink can satisfy except for him. But he does say he satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. Let me take you to the book of Isaiah, and I'll give you a lot more in Psalms, but I'm going to just take it to Isaiah 55. Because of that, The Bible gives us some points in Isaiah 55 here. It says, "Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come to the waters, and he that hath no money, come and buy and eat, and yea, come buy wine and milk without money, without price. Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and labor for that which satisfieth not?" A couple things I want to say here in this passage. One of the richest men in the world one time, he was the richest man at his point when he was alive. I think his last name is Getty. He was the richest man in the world when he was alive. At the end of his life, after he'd made more money than anybody on the earth, he said he had multiple bad marriages. I think he was married 5 times. And he said, "I would have given up all of my money for one happy marriage." I thought, you know, you worked so hard and did so much labor and competed with so many people and beat out so many people and did all this stuff. And at the end of your life, you're saying, "My life was totally a waste." In this passage in Isaiah 55, God is talking to his people and he says, "Why do you go and labor for things that aren't going to satisfy you and live your life for things that aren't going to matter? Everyone that thirsteth, and your soul will thirst until you get it met by God. It'll thirst for something. It'll never get satisfied. Only he will meet that need. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye and buy, and yea, come buy and wine and milk without money, without price." First of all, he says several things. He says, thirsty, you're invited. You want God, you want satisfaction, you want your soul to be fulfilled. You want your soul to be rich, come to God. And God says, hey, those who don't have money, come and buy all you want because it's free. That's the good news. Can you imagine if Fred Meyer said, you know what, today, anything you want's free. Just come on in. Don't have any money, don't worry about it. Boy, you better get there early. And you'd go in there and say, this is awesome. Now, some people would just go in and just get the most expensive thing. But you know, some people would say, you know what? I want to get something I've never tried before or never had before. Can you imagine if you went to the nicest restaurant in downtown Seattle, one of those $100 plate restaurants? $100 a plate, good night. I can feed my whole family 10 times for that. And $100 a plate. Say, "Pastor, do you think that place is bad?" I don't know. Take me there and we'll find out. But $100 a plate thing. But I don't know if they have bacon burgers. You go down to that place and they say, you know what? For you, the menu's free. Try anything. You know, I would probably try something I never had before. I'm adventurous in food anyway. I go all over the world and try all kinds of food. I've tried many different kinds of food. I would try something different, just something I never had. I would never buy again. God says to us, he says, those who don't have any, you don't have any money, that's fine. I want to satisfy you and I'll give you as much as you want for free. That's great. You don't have to be privileged. You don't have to be brilliant. You don't have to be anything. So first of all, he says, you're invited. Secondly, it's free. Thirdly, this thirst for the soul that he'll satisfy, it's luxurious. It says in the middle of this verse, it says, "Come ye and buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money, without price." Wine and milk were luxuries in the ancient biblical world there, especially for people who were enslaved like they were. It says, come get these satisfying things. And it's luxurious stuff. The end of verse 2, it says, "Eat that which is good and let your soul delight itself in fatness." In other words, just get a glob and enjoy it and enjoy the richness. Get the best you can get and enjoy it. And I want to say this, serving the Lord is not leftovers. I've been serving the Lord for 26 years, I think. You're 27 now. I want to tell you, I had 16 years in this world doing what the world said was fun and entertaining. I wouldn't go back to that for anything. Serving the Lord is satisfying. It isn't, oh, I got to live this miserable life. Anybody who thinks that Christianity is this boring life where you have a bunch of rules and you just have this terrible, boring life, you are missing out. That life in the world is the miserable life that comes up empty. Serving God is a rich, full, fulfilling life. I have no temptation to go back. No temptation to go back. It's rich. It's full. It's good. And then he says this, why waste your money and life for that which does not satisfy? Verse 2, wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat that which is good, and your soul shall delight itself in fatness. He satisfies your soul. I'm going to go back to Psalms now, back to the book of Psalm. God will satisfy you. God says, come to me and get free satisfaction in your soul. And he offers that. Psalm 107:9, we already read. Psalm 63. Eventually, you learn that that longing is God, and it's him, it's a person. And that need in your soul. It says, Psalm 63, verse 1, O God, thou art my God, early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. Psalm 27:4. It says, one thing have I desired of the Lord, and one thing will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, and to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple. Psalm 17 and verse 15. As for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake in thy likeness. You're born, out comes a need, a thirst in your soul. God puts it there. That soul can be only satisfied by him. But we don't always know that. So we go out and we try things. And we try religion. And by the way, religion will not satisfy your soul. Let me say it again. Religion will not satisfy your soul. If you get into this message and say, yeah, he says if you'll be fulfilled if you become religious. I am not saying that. You will not be fulfilled if you become religious. Religion cannot satisfy your soul. Only the Lord can satisfy your soul. He's not religion. He's a person. Okay? That thirst in your soul, some people try drugs. And they find. And by the way, they have a lot of fun for a little while. But that wears out pretty quick. They try drinking. They try partying. They try sleeping around. They try immorality. And they try it. And then eventually they come up empty. I've been talking to people coming up empty and saying, I need God. I've been doing it for my whole Christian life. People who tried it, thought they were going to have fun, thought they were satisfied, were satisfied for 6 months or a year or 2 years or 5 years, and then all of a sudden they had to do more and more and more to try to satisfy them because what they did before didn't satisfy anymore. And so eventually they come up and they say, I need something else. Somebody comes to them and tells them, what you need is Jesus. That's what you've been looking for. That religion didn't satisfy you, did it? That immorality didn't satisfy you, did it? That situation. Literally, I see people have kids to try to satisfy their soul. There's something missing. There's something empty. They know it. They think when they have a kid, then the kid doesn't satisfy them. That's fun for a while. Then it turns two. And it doesn't satisfy them anymore. And they try this and they try that. And can I save you a lot of wasted time and effort? You will not be satisfied until you get close to God. I know a young person right now who is trying to satisfy their soul with the world right now, and I'm just watching them, and they know in the back of their mind it's the Lord they need, but they are going to keep on trying because the world keeps on, like a cat being pulled to the string, the Lord keeps on pulling them and saying, no, you're going to get satisfied and do this, when you try this, when you get this much farther, and it's not. The Lord brings satisfaction and eventually does that. I was talking to an atheist recently, trying to be an atheist. I don't think he's really an atheist, but he's trying to be. And we are having a decent conversation, nice conversation. And he really wants to be an atheist so he can feel okay. That's why he wants to be an atheist. And he's really trying to convince himself. And he grew up in a not very good Christian home, but a Christian home. And he said to me, he said, you know, it seems like all of us who grew up in Christian homes and grow up in that eventually have to leave it for a while. And we look for something else. I said, that is not true at all. I said, those who don't get to know God do sometimes. But I said, those who know God, they never wander. They found satisfaction. And one of my goals with my children is not to just make them moral and go to church. I want them to know God. The world will always be empty to them if they know God. Immorality. You know what? You don't need sexual immorality when you're satisfied in your soul. You don't need drugs when you're satisfied in your soul. You don't need to go out and try all kinds of bad things. You don't need to go out and live a sinful life. You don't need to go out and live your life for money. Can I tell you? I would not be more satisfied if I had $1 million in the bank. I can just tell you that about myself. I'm satisfied. Oh no, you can always be more satisfied. You've never been satisfied then. You ever been to Old Country Buffet and been done? And somebody said, here, once, it doesn't matter what they put in front of you. It can be your favorite food in the world. You are just full. You ever done that? You're acting like you've never done that. Yes, you have. You rolled out of there and you, listen, there's a certain point where you are satisfied, and even if they can put in front of you, they can put in front of you ice cream, cake, put in front of you candy bars, Mr. Good Bar. They can put in front of you steak, lobster, whatever you like. They can put in front of you and you say, sorry, I don't want any. That's what happens when you get close to Jesus. The devil comes and says, you want this? You say, nah. You love this forever. This is your favorite. It used to be, but I'm satisfied. I don't need that. I don't need that. And you're done. You're full. You got all you need. And all those atheists that said, you know, you didn't ever know God. That's why you're searching and searching and searching. And by the way, you're not finding, are you? Because you're not going to. And you're going to find, you're going to get the end of your life and say, boy, that was a frustrating experience that left me empty. Many of us who found Christ later and didn't know him from a child, many of you, most of you are saying, boy, I wasted a lot of years for things that didn't matter. And sometimes it's not immoral things. Sometimes it's religion. And you didn't know God. And then you find satisfaction. Religion cannot satisfy your soul. It's a need for Jesus. Religious experience can't do it. A doctrine or doctrine cannot do it. A church cannot satisfy your longing soul. You living morally and feeling good about yourself can't satisfy your soul. You finding the best friends, or you finding the best relationships, or you getting all the things you ever dreamed of, they can't satisfy. You can nullify the pain and feel okay because life's going really good for a while, but you'll still say, I'm thirsty, I'm hungry for something else. And only the Lord will satisfy that. He satisfieth the longing soul, it says. He filleth the hungry soul. He fills it up and satisfies it. A full person does not need more. The power of immorality loses its power when you're satisfied. Let me explain this to you. In my life, by every statistic in the world, I'm supposed to be an alcoholic. My dad was an alcoholic. I grew up around alcoholics. I started drinking when I was 10 years old. I drank through my teen years. If the doctors are correct, it's in my genes. All that stuff is true. And then I was drinking and drinking. I started drinking pretty regularly when I was about 16, 15, in that, maybe 15, 16. I just had friends' parents who would give us beer all the time. And we drank and whatever else we can get our hands on. I drank a lot. Did you know... If you could put whatever alcohol you want in front of me, I have zero temptation for it. Zero. You know why? Because I went through shock treatment, and they shocked me every time I drank it. No. I simply am happy in my normal state of mind. It's that easy. I don't need to deprive my brain of oxygen in order to make myself happy. I'm satisfied. And so the power of sin, when you're satisfied, see, so many people go into immorality and the most empty souls are searching everywhere, trying the craziest things and finding it empty. And it just, that's what's going to happen. A full person doesn't need that. For a Christian, get to the Lord and just get close to him. Psalm 37, the Bible says this, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Delight thyself also in the Lord. The Bible says, hereby know we are in him by his spirit that he hath given us. Our Bible says, and I'm just going to read a couple verses here, and then we'll start finishing up here. Bible says in 1 John 3:24, he that hath the commandments and keepeth them or he that keepeth the commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us by his Spirit which he hath given us. And then it says, hereby know that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. Just want to say real simply, somebody could say there is no God. I say, I know him. What are you talking about? There's no God. There is no God out there. There's no proof. I've met him. See, when you get to know God and you delight yourself in God and get close to him, he's not something that's up there in heaven. He's inside of you. And you know him. And you walk with him and talk with him, and he's your best friend. And he carries your burdens and he speaks to you. And it's powerful and real because you know him and he satisfies your soul. And you sit there and know God personally. I want to say this for two different groups of people now, and I'm just finished with this. There's one group of people in here, you've never been saved. You don't know God personally. I want to say, if you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're not going to be able to be satisfied until you do that. God stands there inviting you, and here's the way to heaven. Jesus saw that we'd all sinned, and there's no sin in heaven. The Bible says heaven's perfect. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Everybody who's ever sinned once, you came short of heaven, myself included. The Lord saw that. He wants you in heaven. He loves you. He says, I want you to come be with me in heaven. Those sins will keep you out of heaven, and religion and being good and living a good life can't take care of them. That's a myth. That's not true. So I'm going to take your sins away. I'm going to suffer for them. Jesus came. He died on the cross for our sins. He was buried. He rose again 3 days later for your sins. As a Son of God, he died for you. That right there, you, when we say trusting Jesus Christ, it means you say, I can't save myself. I've sinned. Lord, I need you to save me. I need Jesus Christ to take away my sins. I believe he died for my sins, and that's the only way to heaven. I did that when I was 16. Boom, my sins are washed away. Jesus Christ came to live inside of me, and the satisfaction of my soul began. And if you've never done that, can I say it's that simple? God makes it easy. He makes directions really easy because he wants you in heaven. If you say, well, I'm going to be good and get to heaven, you're not going to go to heaven because of that. You will still have your sin. That's why Jesus had to die, because we couldn't be good enough. And the Bible says there's none righteous. No, not one. It's by Jesus alone. So if you've never done that, at the end, in just a minute here, I'm going to give you a chance to do that. I'm not going to embarrass you. I will say a prayer that you can tell God, I can't save myself. I need Jesus to save me. And you can ask him to save you. But Christian, I want to talk to you. Christian, what can happen is you get away from God. And though you have all the access to all the drinking you want of good things, eating of what the good things of God, and be satisfying from him, you're not close to him. You will begin to long for the things of the world because you're not satisfied. Because just being saved doesn't satisfy you all the way. You've got to be close to him. And when I wander from God and not spending time close to him, I find the draw of sin coming back. When I'm close to him and spending time with him and walking with him as my best friend, I find that I'm satisfied in my soul. It's him. It's not religion. It's not being good. It's the Lord only satisfies the longing soul. And the hungry soul he fills with good things. The soul is more important. And if you don't do that and don't get satisfied in God, you will run around your whole life with temporary satisfactions and permanent emptiness. And it'll never be satisfied. And the devil keeps on drawing you and saying, a little more of this, a little more of that. Eventually, you're going to get this done. You'll be happy. You'll be happy for a minute. And then you'll say, but I wish I had more. But if I had a bigger house, if I had a nicer car, if I had a better job, I had a better relationship, my kids just weren't this. If it just weren't for this, I'd be happy. How long are you going to say that? How long have you been saying that? And the devil keeps on telling you, a little more, and you'll be happy. Okay, stop. It's time to be satisfied from him. That's where you need to be satisfied from. And Christian, if you've not been close to God, he'll satisfy you when you get drawn to him. And if you don't know Jesus today, it's time to be satisfied from him. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the chance to preach your word today. Thank you. Satisfy the longing soul. And Lord, I pray that my soul thirsteth for thee. My mind longeth for thee. Lord, I pray that we would get satisfied from Jesus. we would be completed. The vacuum inside of us that has tried a lot of different things today would be filled, whether it's by someone trusting you as Savior, Lord, or whether it's by a Christian coming back to you and spending time getting close to you again, Father. Please help us to do so, and help us not to continue to be deceived by the devil that we'll be satisfied with something else. Lord, it is a wonderful thing when we're close to you and have fullness of joy and peace. Please help us to do so in Jesus' name. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Just